Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my offices and call to be a servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Abounding in steadfast love to all call upon you.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace.
Thank you. we beseech thee, let thy continual pity cleanse and defend thy church. And because it cannot continue in safety without thy succor, preserve it evermore by thy help and goodness, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for today is recorded in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, being at the 8th verse. This is about Elijah and the widow. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Don't fear, go and do as I have said, but make a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some of it for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is recorded in Galatians, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Here St. Paul writes, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. But do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap it if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." This is the word of the Lord. O God, our Father in heaven, whose presence there is fullness of joy, and at whose right hand there are pleasures forevermore, mercifully fix our hearts on things above, and free them from all undue care and thought for the things of the present transient world, that whilst we are here in the body, we may sow not to the flesh, but to the Spirit, and in the end, reap life everlasting. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, evermore, world without end. St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the gospel of the Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us body and soul and hitherto bountifully provided for us all the necessities of life. And we beseech thee, strengthen, confirm, and uphold our faith, trusting fully in you and seeking before all things thy kingdom, we may avoid all greed and anxiety, and by thy grace overcome every affliction. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. We confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Together,
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified,
who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, that I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You are different. You're different people. Now, I'm not talking about how you look, okay? How you dress, how you speak, the house in which you live. I'm sure it's a pretty normal looking house. But you are different from those people with whom you associate every day. Whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a child or an adult, whether you're in elementary school or high school, you're different from the other folks. And here's why. You're a child of God. That's why. That's how. Something that can't always be seen, but you are very different from them. Now again, as you go to school every day, you go to work, you can say, well, I look like this other young lady or young man. I look like this man or woman with whom I work. How am I different from them? How is a child of God different from them? We both go to work, both earn our pay every day, so to speak. We go back to our neighborhoods, and I'll say hi to my neighbor, and they'll say hi back to me. We seem to be pretty much the same kind of folk. We're not culturally that different. Again, we don't speak different languages, so we can communicate easily. My house looks almost identical, as a matter of fact, to the house next to me. So again, how is a child of God different? Today, we hear from Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. And as we talked about in our Bible class briefly, the Sermon on the Mount is somewhere near Capernaum, we're not exactly know where. But here Jesus has a long sermon. And Matthew, you can go read it at home today, the whole sermon, several chapters long. And in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks to his disciples and those that had converted to belonging to Christianity or to following Jesus. He talks to them and tells them about life and faith and about how they are different from folks in the world. All those people who are members of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, are different from, what he says, the Gentiles. And that means they're different from unbelievers. You see, the unbeliever every day goes to work like you and I. They go home to the same kind of home that you go to. But their life is an end state in itself for that day. They seek a salary. They seek goods. They seek a larger house, possibly, more vehicles, more cars, whatever, more recreational vehicles, as a way to satisfy some anxiety they have, some need they have about today and tomorrow, because they have nothing else. Their life is temporal only. It sees the world for what it is, where stuff can be possessed, you can barter, you can buy, you can exchange. That is their life. But it is different for the Christian. Jesus uses the example of the birds of the air. I know many of you have bird feeders and whatnot. You have birds around your homes. Birds fly about. They don't sow. I don't see any birds with little cultivators or tractors or anything. They just sow. I mean, they go out and reap the harvest, right? They don't have barns to put their seed in. Yet, God seems to take care of the birds of the air. And they seem to be quite happy about it as they sing, right? Not all birds sing so pretty, but, you know, they seem to be doing quite well. He also uses the example of comparing Solomon to the lilies of the field. If you look at flowers carefully and closely, they're such beautiful things. And God has created them in this way. And compared to Solomon, this rich, wise king of kings, so to speak, in his best vestments, he couldn't compare to how God clothes the lilies of the field. Remarkable, isn't it? So for the heathen, the unbeliever, the Gentile, as Jesus says, this is their world, getting stuff, getting possessions, mammon, as he says. Now Jesus warns the Christians that you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve both mammon and God. Either you're going to hate one and love the other, or you're going to be loyal to one and disloyal to the other. You're going to be a traitor, so to speak. It doesn't work in life. You can't have two masters. And so the warning is for Christians that as they go about their daily life among so many unbelievers in our culture, that they begin to adapt and become like the unbeliever in their priorities of life. And this is the difference, you see. Jesus says to the Christian, to his disciples at the Sermon on the Mount, you're different because your priorities are different. Look at your priorities in life. Seek first what? Stuff? Health insurance? Life insurance? A home? A car? A great education? No. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you need will be added on to you. Now, please don't pervert this by thinking, well, if I give everything away, then God's going to give me tenfold back. That's the wrong motive. But Christians live by faith and not by sight. That's the point. Every day is a life lived by faith. Every day. In contrast to the unbeliever who lives by sight only. What I have in my bank account, how large is my house, how nice is my car, what kind of insurance do I have, who are my friends, how do I get more prestige, more status in my culture. Again, Christian may look the same, but it's within the Christian that there's a difference. The priority of life is first the kingdom of God. Seek that first. Where did you get invited into this kingdom, by the way? How did it come to be yours? Right there, at the font. There you were brought into the kingdom of God. You were baptized into Christ. You were clothed with his righteousness and his innocence. I had a professor named Dr. Louis Brighton who thought that if there's one thing that a student should be able to do, it's be able to talk about accurately and precisely what it means to be the righteousness of God. And here's what it means very simply. That you are clothed with Christ's innocence itself. He clothes you with his holiness that is acceptable unto God. You, through faith, not by works, not by what you accrue in this life, but solely by what Christ has done for you, offered to you in the waters of baptism, does he make you righteous and holy in his sight. That's right, make you. You've been translated from darkness into light, from death unto eternal life. What a gift. This now is your kingdom. You can claim it. It's your birthright in the waters of baptism. This is not, however, for the Gentiles, for the unbelievers. It's different, a different priority. As we heard the lessons today, I was struck by the fact that they're tied together with what we read from 1 Kings. Here's Elijah, and I thought, man, this guy's got some guts. Here's Elijah, a prophet of God, called by God. He's traveling somewhere as directed by God. And he's going to be provided for by a widow who has nothing. So first of all, for Elijah, I think, well, I guess he's got his priorities right, kingdom of God first. But I would think, well, God's going to provide, he's going to have some rich merchant provide for him or something. But no, it's some widow. What does she have? A little bit of flour and oil. So as Elijah approaches her, a widow with an only son who's pretty destitute, obviously, and starving, basically, says to her, give me something to drink, and oh, by the way, you know that little bit of flour you have? Make me something to eat. Again, that's pretty gutsy. To ask a widow woman with a son to give me your last meal. That was their plan, to eat that together and then to perish. So in faith, he asks of her, and in faith, she responds to his request. She gives the last bit she has to Elijah. And he promises that you shall be provided for all that you need. And so this is that miraculous provision of flour and oil until the first rains would come. Here's someone who had it right. I don't know if I could have done what that widow did. That would have been tough. My last meal, well, I'm going to give to you. And she does, in faith. Again, her priorities were right. For us as Christians, oftentimes we are racked with anxiety and worry, as is in the world. Why? Because we've changed our priorities to match the world's. Not that we're different in that regard from the world. We have needs like anyone else. But that somehow we have forgotten that we live by faith. We've forgotten that, hey, I really am a child of God. Hey, the kingdom of God is mine. Hey, I am a member of the kingdom of heaven. That is my home. And yet we forget. We start to live like the world and become anxious. Whether we're fraught with financial problems, medical problems, family problems. Let us not forget that we are not like the world. That we have a higher calling. We are members of the kingdom of God. We can't purchase that. We can't buy it. And it's eternal in nature, not just for a day or for a week, but it's forever. Furthermore, God provides for us today again at the altar. We come as a family together to feast at this sacred place on Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And there again, we're nurtured for all eternity, as only people of faith can do. It's a gift to us. We can't purchase it. It's a priority one for us. That we would nurture our souls, not just our bodies. Not just worry about clothing and food and drink, but eternal nurture. Feasting at the altar as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not saying that all anxiety is going to go away. I'm not saying here today that everything's going to be perfect for you and that you should plan for the future. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that as people of God, let us not forget the promise that is given to us. Marked by the cross at the waters of baptism, sustained at the altar, and as we hear this word of forgiveness even preached today, we know it is true, for it comes from God himself, promised to us in the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ, at the cross. If you have anxiety, where do you take it? To that cross of Christ. Take it there first and foremost. Whatever it is, there God has answered and met all of our greatest needs in life at that cross. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, be gracious to us, your baptized children, for temptations and anxieties surround us. Gladden our souls with the good news of your Son's perfect life and sacrificial death for our salvation. Strengthen us in the faith and fill us with your Spirit that we might trust in you for all things temporal and eternal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, show your abundant mercy to Matthew, our Synod President, John, our District President, James, our Circuit Visitor, and to all those whom you have called to preach Christ and him crucified. According to your gracious will, grant faithful pastors to all vacant congregations and restore to service those pastors without a congregation to serve. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant opportunities for honest and faithful labor to all, especially the unemployed. Give us all contentment and joy as we carry out our daily tasks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, grant wisdom to the President, Congress, and Supreme Court of the United States, the leaders of our states and localities, and the rulers of the world. They would seek peace, promote life, protect the weakest among us. Guard and protect those who serve in our armed forces and emergency services, that we may serve with integrity and return home safely. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, give ear to our prayers for the sick, the suffering, the lonely, the shut-in, the depressed, the dying, and those in any need, especially the Pope's family, as they grieve the loss of Fred. Be merciful and gracious to them, and strengthen them in their trials. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, grant that all who partake of your Son's body and blood in the fellowship of this altar today would do so in repentance and faith, and to their abundant blessing, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, according to your will, in your time, you call your children to rest from their labors. Receive our thanks for those who have gone before us in the faith, and grant that we who walk as yet by faith may join them in their holy rest until that day when you raise us incorruptible and immortal. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share God's peace with one another. Welcome to the table of the Lord.
Take each of your body of Christ.
Dominus through body and blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you the Lord your faith unto life and blessing apart from his peace.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let us pray.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.